from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today we bring you the latest on teacher pay, a look at a fund created by a Trump IRS settlement that South Dakota's delegation isn't entirely sold on yet, a candidate profile, and even more. It's Wednesday, May 27th. Here are today's stories. With national rankings from the 2025 school year paired with expectations of the year ahead, South Dakota remains near the bottom of many key education metrics. Notably, that includes keeping schools and teachers up with inflation rates. SDPB's CJ Keene reports.
The Blue Ribbon Task Force was convened with a goal of addressing the state's teacher pay rates. While it made steps, that compensation improvement effectively evaporated. The National Education Association ranks every state on many metrics, including constant dollars. That's the term used to describe monies adjusted for inflation. While pay has risen, the value of that money means South Dakota teachers have essentially taken pay cuts in the last decade. NEA rankings found South Dakota teachers have, since 2017, lost 4.26% of their pay's value. While below the national average, which is down 4.63, it's especially highlighted in a state with bottom five average teacher salaries. Rob Munson is the executive director of the School Administrators of South Dakota.
The funding that comes from the state and setting the levies is one thing. I think school districts have tried to go even above that if they can. Like the 1.4 this year, you know, I heard some school districts going 2%, just trying to help bridge some of that inflationary cost. But that can't be done on a long-term basis. The money in the local school district just is not there.
He says that has practical consequences for the education of South Dakota's next generation.
Many years we look at that deep into the school year, and there's still 100-plus positions that have not been filled in the state.
For Sandra Waltman, lobbyist with the State Teachers Association, turnover holds South Dakota back.
When school districts can't fill positions, they just cut the position. What you're dealing with is you're not having that teacher in the classroom. We still have a long way to go to make sure that school districts have resources to recruit and retain the teachers.
State law mandates increases for education of 3% or the rate of inflation, whichever's lower. In 2026, that increase was 1.4% with inflation rates of 3.8%. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
As Congress wraps its arms around the Trump IRS settlement, two of South Dakota's delegates aren't entirely sold on the idea. In a settlement with President Donald Trump, the U.S. Department of Justice agreed to create an anti-weaponization fund. That fund would have $1.776 billion in taxpayer money and give funds to people deemed to have been targeted by the government who apply. Some worry the fund is going to be used to give money to President Trump's allies, including potentially to rioters during the January 6th insurrection. The Trump administration has said they're not necessarily giving money to January 6th rioters. However, the administration has not ruled it out either. That's given many, Democrats and Republicans alike, some hesitation. South Dakota's lone representative in the U.S. House, Dusty Johnson, responded to SDPB questions about the fund at an event in Beersford. Johnson says he's aware some people believe this fund should exist to provide remedy to January 6th rioters.
Before we used any new fund, I guess I would want to understand why existing legal remedies weren't sufficient. I mean, if somebody really had their civil rights violated in some way, then we should have a system that takes care of them, and regardless of whether or not a new fund is created. So I'd start from a position of having a lot of questions about this fund and about how it would be used.
Among those with caution on the fund is Senate Majority Leader South Dakota Senator John Thune. BBC reports Thune said he's, quote, not a big fan of the fund. Johnson called January 6th a dark day for this country.
The reality is that a certain number of the most aggressive rioters did disrupt a constitutional duty that day. And I know some people keep trying to paper over that like it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal. I mean, people died that day, and it absolutely interrupted a key constitutional duty that Congress had to certify that election. And I certainly wouldn't want to try to minimize what happened that day.
Bipartisan legislation to block the fund has been introduced in the House, though Johnson's not connected to that bill. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks in Beersford. Game, Fish, and Parks announces a fundraising campaign to support the Blue Dog State Fish Hatchery. Governor Larry Roden and GFNP announced the campaign at an event Tuesday. The hatchery in Wabe began operating in 1982. It's the primary producer of walleye fry and small juvenile walleye across South Dakota. The total project cost to modernize the hatchery is $8 million. State officials are aiming to raise $3 million in private donations. The remaining $5 million will come from a mix of state and federal funds. According to GFP, the hatchery needs a new main water line and improved water quality, among other repairs. All South Dakota voters should review their ballot before next Tuesday's primary election. Sample ballots are available through the Secretary of State website and the County Auditor's Office. Ballot options vary depending on voter registration and where voters live. The June 2nd primary election includes municipal races. All federal, state, and county races are partisan contests. Only registered Republicans can vote in Republican races. Democrats, on the other hand, have an open primary where any registered voter can request that ballot. County auditors are available for voter questions. Work to replace a bridge in Spearfish Canyon has been delayed after an American Dipper returned to nest on the existing bridge structure. The American Dipper is listed as a state-threatened species by South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. The aquatic songbird typically nests over streams, and its nesting season lasts from May through July. The $950,000 bridge replacement project crosses Spearfish Creek. Construction was scheduled to begin this month, but has now been delayed until August 1st. John Bay is the Lawrence County Highway Superintendent. He told the Black Hills Pioneer newspaper they'll do their best to get the 12-week project completed in the time they have. They're not allowed to disturb the nesting bird. James Bialata is a Republican candidate for South Dakota's only seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. He grew up in Piedmont, is a business owner, and Air Force veteran. I spoke with Bialata for this candidate profile.
Well, I'm a combat vet. I was in Iraq. I had many different assignments while there, including construction, busting corruption, searching for MIAs. Since then, I was a government contractor, a private contractor. I own a sporting goods shop. You can be more Second Amendment. And I've been giving away my time pro bono for the last 4 years, both as a paralegal and as a veterans advocate.
It sounds like you haven't been in the political scene as necessarily a candidate. I guess what sort of prompted you to want to throw your hat in the ring and maybe run for Congress?
While working pro bono as a paralegal, looking at most of the cases people were up against was the government. It became clear that the government was out of control and violating people's rights. And the attorney I worked for let me take on any case I wanted as long as I did all the work. Basically, I was doing the work and he signed off on what I did. And I started winning cases immediately in the South Dakota Supreme Court. So he said, why don't you become an attorney? So obviously, you're good at this, you know what you're doing, and you're passionate. And I slept on it. And I had this amazing dream where I had a dozen attorneys working for me, and they told me the truth, and they said, you could own every law firm in the state, and you still wouldn't be able to help everybody. And I woke up with the sobering thought that it was absolutely true. So I really considered what I could do differently that could benefit and actually help the people. And it hit me. A five-minute phone call can end a one-year court case going, this is Congressman Bialata. I understand that you believe your rights are being violated, and I'm calling the entity that is doing it. You call the entity and say, are you guys really violating this person's constitutional rights? And typically, I believe a lot of them would go, nope, we're not going to do that. We'll better take a look at what we're doing. But on the off chance they don't, you better have the audacity to do what I do and go, well, if you're not going to stop, we're going to call the FBI and we'll come see you shortly.
Obviously, with any presidency, Republican, Democrat, Independent, doesn't really matter. There's a push and pull between the president and Congress in some shape or form. Recently, that we've seen some of that with the war in Iran come up. I guess, how would you, as a member of Congress, plan to work with the White House while still ensuring the checks and balances of Congress are there?
Well, that's great, because that's what's not been happening. And it doesn't matter which branch you're talking about. The last time a federal judge was impeached was 2016, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or 2009. I think it's 2009. I want to say it's been like 16 years. And so that wasn't the last time a federal judge broke the law, but it's the last time anybody was held accountable. the legislators, Congress and the Senate, need to hold those that break the law accountable, regardless of who it is. Now, that being said, the president has a lot of great ideas. He's one of the few men and few elected leaders I know that admits when he's wrong and changes his view on it. And we've seen that with some of his cabinet posts. So I think it's great to work with somebody that is willing to change and modify something that might have been an error.
South Dakota, obviously, one of the big things that I think a lot of residents and voters look at is the Farm Bill, just seeing as our agriculture nature. Is there anything on the Farm Bill specifically that you would like to see in that or that you have hopes for in a Farm Bill were you to become a member of Congress?
Yes. In fact, we've looked at a serious modification to the Farm Bill, and that modification would be with food stamps. So food stamps is over $100 billion of the ag bill. It is the bulk of the U.S. ag bill. But nothing in the food stamp program requires it to be American food. So taxpayers are essentially paying to promote foreign agriculture. And I don't believe we should be doing that. I would like to see it to where food stamps are for American food. And as a benefit of that, when that program's in place, because it's a voluntary program, of course, I believe the packing plants would voluntarily provide MCOOL, which is country of origin labeling. The reason why they would do that is because without it, their products would no longer be eligible for $100 billion worth of food stamps. And I don't believe that in good business, they would want to ignore that benefit of having access to that income. So I believe they'll actually voluntarily put country of origin labeling on products.
Bialata is running against South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley. The primary election is June 2nd. The winner will take on Democrat Nikki Gronley in November. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.